The Irish Times, election 2011.
Hello, I'm Hugh Linehan. You're listening to IrishTimes.com, election podcast 2011. Last night, we saw the first five-way debate in the history of Irish politics between the five party leaders. But how did it go? When you put six men in a room, including Pat Kenny, do you get a cacophony or do you get an interesting debate? This is what it sounded like.
I would say to Luke, guys,
your 5 billion, it's not
read
just about
the document.
We got the point.
It's higher taxes.
Please.
More people out of work and no recovery.
More debt from you on the backs of the Irish people.
We hear nobody when everyone's talking. Micheál Martin.
They want to go into government together. But anyway, Ruth.
Harry McGee was watching proceedings for us last night.
They were a prisoner of the format with five leaders with questions coming from the audience with very strict limits on the time of the answers. You didn't get that kind of deep engagement that we saw in the TV3 debate last week. So when somebody was being challenged on a particular aspect of policy or personality, 45 seconds later they were free from the charge and they couldn't be pummeled on it or couldn't be engaged on it for any considerable period of time. I think the expectations last night going into it were, the big question was how would Enda Kenny perform? He didn't appear in the TV3 debate last week. He did disastrously when he performed in the 2007 debate with Bertie Ahern. Well, maybe not quite disastrously, but he certainly was perceived as a person who lost. He's not known for his fluidity or his silkiness when it comes to debating. He has a very wooden persona, so he had really most to lose going into the debate last night, and he escaped largely unscathed. He didn't wow anybody with the quality of his prose or the quality of his observations, but more importantly for him and for Fine Gael, nobody actually got him to slip on a banana skin, and for them that was a victory.
And isn't that really what it's about from Fine Gael's point of view, in that expectations are so low now of Enda Kenny, and in a way Fine Gael have contributed to that by not permitting him to go on the first debate, that as long as he doesn't make an absolute howler, he's okay and he's the winner?
I think that Fine Gael's strategy from the get-go in this campaign has been to downplay Enda Kenny and to downplay expectations around him and to stress two other aspects of Fine Gael. The first thing is the corporate image of the party that's been pushed far more than the personality of the leader. So it's Fine Gael for government and Fine Gael policy rather than a presidential style election campaign. The second thing that Fine Gael has done, and done very successfully, is that it has stressed that his leadership is a kind of a hydra-headed kind of animal, and they've pushed out people like Michael Noonan, Richard Bruton, Leo Varadkar, and talked in terms of the leadership team. And they've been quite successful in doing that. They've pushed the idea that Enda Kenny will be a chairman rather than a chief, and that the people who will be making, doing the heavy lifting when it comes to the economy and when it comes to detail will be the people who do have a reputation for being good on detail, for being good on being strong and decisive when it comes to decisions. So there aren't any real expectations surrounding Enda Kenny, and a pessimist is never disappointed. So if there are such low expectations for him when he becomes Taoiseach, which I'm sure he will become, I think he's going to exceed them, and perhaps exceed them quite handsomely.
Now, as you say, you're sure that he will become Taoiseach. And really, I mean, we're on new ground here with these debates as opposed to any previous elections, in that in all the previous elections we had head-to-heads between two party leaders, both vying to be Taoiseach. This was a debate with five party leaders, only one of whom really has any prospect at all of being Taoiseach. But I wanted to focus on the two leaders of the smaller parties. John Gormley seemed a little plaintive to some extent, but how did Gerry Adams perform, given that he had such a disastrous outing in 2007?
He was surprisingly strong last night, and he was the other person who couldn't be considered to be a big winner from it. I think the format helped them as well, because a lot of Sinn Féin's economic policies are, you know, a little bit dodgy when you start looking at the figures. Do the figures add up? Some of the scorched earth solutions they have to the banking crisis, when you think through the consequences, there are difficulties in terms of explaining it. But all of that requires detail. All of that requires time. There wasn't the time last night. 45 seconds was a lot of time for each answer. You just can't really score any points with such a limited amount of time. But Adams was strong last night. He had a much better command of detail than he had 4 years ago. He seemed to be on top of the economics brief. He had a couple of good prepared lines. He was able to point out where Sinn Féin was distinct from other parties in relation to, for example, its refusal to accept the IMF and EU deal. And John Gormley was surprisingly strong as well. He actually also made a pretty good pitch at distinguishing the Greens from other parties. He came across as honest. He was sober. He didn't make any expansive promises. He wasn't involved in the attack politics that others were. He actually agreed with a lot of the other leaders, but he actually did himself no harm at all.
I thought it was quite interesting what Micheál Martin had to say when he had a go at Gerry Adams.
With the greatest respect, Gerry is the last man on this platform to talk about fraud or to talk about anything like that, given the baggage that you've come with from the past. No, I mean that, Gerry. I don't take lectures from you.
No,
I just don't.
You're giving
you
me
are. How dare you talk about fraud among politics and among people down here in the Republic?
You're telling
about
me
what
there's
done
no
over
fraud.
The last number of years. You have no right to do it, Gerry.
I have every right to
do it. You should at least have some sense of humility about the whole situation.
I am a very humble person.
Now, Harry, Micheál Martin really having a go at Gerry Adams there. The Irish Times published a poll this week from Cork North Central which showed that it was very possible that Fianna Fáil wouldn't win one seat in that constituency and that Sinn Féin might comfortably win a seat. Do you think there's any connection between the approach to Sinn Féin last night by Micheál Martin and polls such as that?
One of the trends or the tropes that was immediately apparent to anybody who follows politics was that Micheál Martin directed most of his fire, not against Enda Kenny, who is meant to be his rival, but against Gerry Adams, who leads one of the smallest of the parliamentary parties in the Oireachtas. And the reason why is that Fianna Fáil are in the battle for the last seat in a lot of constituencies, especially in urban and suburban areas, and in the working class areas where Fianna Fáil have traditionally been strong, with Sinn Féin. And that's why he directed his fire in such a sustained manner on Gerry Adams last night. We heard he first of all challenged their economics. Where are you going to get the 50 billion? Gerry, he compared him to the host of The Late Late Show, where he's giving something for everybody in the audience. Later on, when Gerry Adams had the temerity, as we heard there, to raise the question of white-collar crime and fraud, and Micheál Martin immediately pounced on him saying that he had some cheek talking about fraud. Even though he didn't name it, everybody knew that he was making a veiled reference to the Northern Bank. So he was reminding people of Sinn Féin's less than glorious legacy. And Gerry Adams kept on referring to his party as a Republican. In fairness to Gerry Adams, he did parry the offence quite effectively. And the first thing, he compared Micheál Martin's policies to something that Paul Daniels might do, and he also stood his ground without actually being able to respond in kind against Micheál Martin.
Now, Harry, we haven't referred to the man who went into this election as the man who was the rising star, who had dominated the poll ratings, who is the most popular political leader in the country, but who really doesn't seem to have had a very good campaign so far, and that seemed to me to be true last night as well, and that's Eamon Gilmore.
Just thinking about that this morning, Hugh, about his performance, and it was strange. It was a kind of a mixture. There was some assertiveness. He was subdued at times. He was unsure of the pose or the pitch that he should adopt. And on an occasion, he was frustrated. He had a couple of very good lines last night. He talked about the biggest bank robbery in the history of the state was committed by the banks themselves. There might have been a veiled reference to the Northern Bank robbery there too. He had a couple of good lines that were pre-cooked in relation to Micheál Martin, describing him as the great pretender. Enda Kenny had one as well, where he described Micheál Martin as Rip Van Winkle, trying to remind people of Micheál Martin's 14 years in government and his stewardship over the HSE. But overall, Eamon Gilmore has found the debates difficult. He's very good when he's performing in the Dáil. He's a very good man at the soundbite. He's a very good man at instant indignation or for delivering a short, cursory speech. But he has a bit more difficulty in terms of the debates. Perhaps he's trying not to come across as Mr. Indignation and Mr. Angry. He's trying to temper or curb his indignation, but it certainly isn't working. At times last night he seemed too placid. When he was assertive, he was assertive in kind of the wrong manner. He tried to tackle Enda Kenny over the 5 billion hole in Fine Gael's finances, alleged by the Labour Party, that is. And it really didn't get anywhere. There was a bit of a flashpoint. There was a little bit of an exchange between them, but 45 seconds later the debate had moved on, and you wondered, had Eamon Gilmore scored a point there? Not really. Kenny seems to have parried off that attack relatively well. So
yeah,
Eamon Gilmore has had two pretty poor debates, and the Labour Party has had difficulty in this election. Fine Gael has forged ahead, and the Labour Party has found itself being attacked on the outer flanks by the likes of Sinn Féin and the smaller socialist parties. It's having difficulty jostling for its position in this election.
Yeah, I think that was reflected last night. We'll see what happens on Wednesday evening with the Irish language debate, and perhaps most crucially of all, the three-way leaders debate next Tuesday. Just strike me, Harry, as well, looking at the photograph on the front page of the Irish Times there, it looks like an ad for tailoring for the well-off middle-aged male. It looks like an ad for Louis Copeland. Very male, very suited, very tailored, very middle-class, very middle-aged. But that might be a subject that we'll return to again before the end of this campaign. Harry McGee, thanks for joining us.
And unfortunately, the pundits from all of the parties that were taken on afterwards were all male as well. It did look like a very male-dominated campaign. Somebody, I think, tweeted last night saying that they looked like middle-aged hopefuls for a boy band in X Factor. I just don't think they would make good music together somehow. I don't think that they would get Simon Cowell and Louis Walsh's vote.
On that note, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Harry.